Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw,
Caleb Williams.
Listen, the guy invented the bear claw over the weekend. How about that?
He adapted it.
The Caleb claw.
He missed the claw.
Oh, he didn't miss it that time. The claw.
He's adapted it, but I mean, it's not like a lot of people were doing the claw.
Hey, Gipper, I have something for you, young man. Ooh, watch yourself, it's the claw. Ooh, the claw's coming at you. Ooh, you're scared of the claw. You're scared of the claw.
I think it's cool.
Okay, if a bear with the claw were to attack a lion, who wins that fight?
Oh, there's no doubt.
The bears.
If you have a packer, like a gentleman that used to load up a truck or
packer,
something, and a bear attacks him.
How about the Norse Viking? How about the Viking coming back?
The Norseman comes out, and
yes,
he's standing there. He's got his pulls out his sword, and then a bear rips him
apart.
What
accent were you lapsing into there? The Viking accent? The Norseman accent?
Oh, yeah.
Who's in charge here?
Claw is our master. Claw chooses who will go and who will stay.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
You're not just the average radio host out there. You want to know the facts.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yeah, you know, I know this is a very dated reference, and I'm sure the majority of the audience will not get it. And I'll be curious if anyone here gets it. But when my niece was like a 3 or 4 year old, and she's closing in on 30, my brother taught her the claw from Baron von Raschke. Do you remember Baron von Raschke? He was a wrestler, and he would come at you with the claw. And then the wrestling groups would take the claw, and they turned it on von Raschke. And he would sometimes, like, claw his own face. And it was like this professional, like, this is Dick the Bruiser and the Crusher days.
Good morning, Molly. Yes, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Baron
but it does Ruskin. Seem very applicable now as we talk about the Caleb claw and his place in Chicago pop culture.
We remember it. We put an open.
Did you really?
It was a piece in the open. It was right in the beginning of the open. We
I
put that claw in there.
That.
Yes. Yeah, we put it right
Baron
in there.
Baron von Raschke. You remember that, Dustin? Huh.
He's nodding his head yes.
Amphitheater wrestling back in the day.
Yeah.
AWA wrestling.
Right. Is that what it was? Okay.
I wasn't a big wrestling guy then or now. But
oh, you missed it.
I know. I missed out. I feel like I missed out. Well, I think that's a good little memory then. You have a little family
it was so
history
cute
with
to
you.
Have
the
like claw. This little kid come at you with the claw from Baron von Raschke, and then all you had to do was like turn it on her, and then she'd be running in fear as the claw
it's
was
all
going
in fun.
After her. It was
all
awesome.
In fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of Bears talk yesterday post draft. I thought of you this morning coming up on the elevator solo, running a few minutes behind, And then you know how you like to look at the screen.
Where I get all my information.
The minute headlines or what? How would you describe that?
It's like a 20-second, 10-second headline.
It's like an inner office in building elevator kind of news source. And I saw the headline just to tell you how immersed in Draftum we are. And the headline was, Bigfoot sightings are probably just bears. And I thought of the punter. And I thought it was Tory Taylor they were referring to.
Bigfoot
yes, there have been, apparently.
No.
There have been. And wow. What's the only thing that's a little bit annoying about the elevator news that we get is that you might get in and it's flashing and
yes,
you want to read the story.
And then you're hooked and it's gone.
And then it's gone. Yeah. And then it's telling you about some new diet or something going on in Europe. I don't know. But
I heard some stand-up comic do a bit on Bigfoot, which I thought was hilarious. His bit was, maybe he's just blurry. Maybe those photos of a Bigfoot are actually there. That's just how he looks.
That's just the way he looks blurry in the morning. Yes. That's funny, though. So I see Bigfoot being confused with a bear sighting, and I'm thinking Tory Taylor. So quite a day post-draft. A lot of good stuff here on the station. But, Molly, last night.
Oh, yeah.
In New York, in Queens, Christopher Morel, the king of Queens. How about that?
First time, I guess, since 1992 that the Cubs have been no-hit through seven innings and come back and won a game.
Is that right?
It was on the broadcast. I watched them.
Well, no,
it was on marquee. Blame them.
No hit through seven innings. Christopher Morel wins it in the ninth inning with that. Oh, my gosh. I mean,
yes.
Two-run home run, and he got all of it.
First home run since April 9th that was on the broadcast.
Wow. You did a lot of note-taking. I did a lot of note-taking.
Mentally, I suppose.
That's very good. I was caught up in the game. I was caught up in the drama, and it was a fast-paced game. Two-hour, five-minute game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was.
I love the pitch clock.
When you get the no-hitter going, and Jameson Taillon was excellent in that game. Excellent.
Luis Severino, the former Yankees, they went head-to-head, pitch for pitch, inning for inning. It was fun. It was like they had reservations.
Yeah.
No, it was like they had dinner reservations.
It was over in a hurry. And it was a real fun one because it's so frustrating. Then they walk a guy. He walks a guy in the eighth, and there's this little flare hit from Dansby Swanson, and the dream is over. And as often time happens, once you know, they got two broken bat hits.
Well, they manufactured that run.
They got a run.
They played small ball, and I thought it was interesting because we talk in Kevin from Palatine, I always think of when – they win a game a certain way. I think, labels games, well, that's a Jed win. That's a Council win. Sometimes it's a player win. Last night, interesting because Morel gets the big hit, but Nick Madrigal pinch hit for Yan Gomes.
Yes.
That's a big move and an unusual one at that point in the game. Nick Madrigal and his hefty 212 batting average pinch hit for Yan Gomes, and he made contact and he beat it out, and that the run scored on a fielder's choice. I think the Mets could have come home with that instead of trying to get two.
Yep.
Nick Madrigal hustled down the line, beat it out. The Cubs tie the game, and after that, Morel did the rest in the ninth. But that was a key moment in the game and a good move by Craig Council. One of those things that happen throughout the course of a season, you tend to overlook, but that's what we're talking about in terms of a manager making the right move at the right time.
And we want clarification. That is the most wins they've had in April. Is that? It's not the greatest start
through a season. April, through
just
April.
In the month of April.
Through April, there's a difference. I think the word, especially you as an English major, through April, because now we play baseball in March.
Right.
So that's part of it.
But. The month of April itself.
They have 18 wins through the month of April.
And that is the most they've ever had.
Yeah, in the franchise, yep.
That's pretty amazing.
And they play
considering
tonight.
Considering the injuries.
And they play tonight.
It's April 30th, and they play tonight. So they have an opportunity to get their 19th.
And they're in first place.
That's big.
That's big news.
I mean, with the Brewers coming to town Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And I think when you take a step back, and you can, you know, quibble over, well, they could lose tonight, and they're going to be back and forth. But when you look at what they've endured.
What they've gone through.
The injuries to key guys, not just injuries to roster pieces. The key guys, fourth pitchers in their starting rotation, in the projected starting rotation, have spent time in the injury list.
Their number one pitcher,
Their lead dog is hurt in the season opener.
And their two best outfielders.
Yes.
Bellinger and Suzuki.
Their most expensive player.
So this has been, if you talk about the first month, a promising opening month, and they win another one tonight with Javier Assad, who's been very good.
Mm.
Underrated. Really, really underrated. He has yet to lose. He's got a 2.00 ERA. He goes against Sean Manaea, who's been a little bit well-traveled by now. Good matchup. But if they win their 19th game tonight, Mully, and it's May 1st, you've got to feel really positive about the Cubs in that direction.
Oh, I think they've done extremely well. And I think that you complimenting the manager this morning is appropriate because they've just rolled with all the punches. They mm-hmm. really have. And they have not allowed any of this to impact them. We talked about the beginning of the year and how difficult this month was going to be because the opponents they were playing, and to come out of it in the fashion in which they will after tonight, pretty extraordinary.
Tyone goes 7 1/3, and he was outstanding, and he has been really this year. I did have to, after complimenting Craig Counsell, I want to be honest about the fact when he went to Mark Leiter Jr. last night, I was a little bit skeptical. I didn't know if that was going to be a move that paid off in that moment because of what we just saw from him the day before, and he pitched well.
Hector Neris, I was a little skeptical
of. Well, when he walks two guys.
Well, holy God.
Oh, my gosh.
That's just hardly the way you want to get things going.
Took years off your life.
I was literally, I heard someone in the house yell, just throw a strike,
that was
and
you.
I realized it was me.
That was you.
Yeah.
That was probably you.
That was definitely me. No one else.
It echoed off the walls.
No one else was in the house that would watch that game. And
I'm just surprised you weren't watching the Sox.
I was watching the Sox, too.
Both?
I was going back and forth. Yeah. And the Sox were good.
I had the Sox on my phone.
Yeah, the Sox were
I had the Sox on my phone, volume down. And
they,
I thought that was the best way to watch them last night.
And I thought that Garrett Crochet had a really good outing. And don't be mean. Don't be a hater.
I'm not being a hater. I just said when you're watching the Sox and you're watching the Cubs, you can't really – I don't have one of those fancy two-screen televisions.
Yeah. You're not like Elvis. You
don't I'm not like
three
Elvis.
Three TVs.
So I'm watching either on my computer or my phone. Last night I chose the phone. I'm watching the Sox on the screen. I'm watching the Cubs on the television. And
– just watching them both. It was fun.
Encouraged by the Cubs. Sox, they blew
probably
it.
Probably watch more Cubs than Sox.
Yeah, well –
that's just the reality of
great home run call
situation.
Do we have Zach and Coom? Zach filling in, and well wishes to Pat Hughes dealing with a family matter.
Yes,
and but Pat, while he's been away, Zach has done yeoman's work. And last night, you know, he had the Pete Crow Armstrong home run call last week.
Yes, he
and
did.
Last night with Christopher Morel going deep, he rose to the occasion.
Now, do you give Christopher something to hit here, or with the base open?
The 3-1. High in the air, deep left field. They gave him something to hit, and he hits it out of the yard. Christopher Morel gives the Cubs the lead.
Attaboy, Chris. He got a high fastball, and he hammers it. And that's what I was talking about. You know, sometimes you just got to cut it loose and just take the high fastball and be on time with that speed. Christopher is on time and smashes one out of the yard. Cubs take the lead in this ball game. Wow.
North side, stand up.
No, stop.
No, you can't do that. It's too provincial.
Wrong station.
Former watchers of the Superstation WGN, stand up.
No.
Because that's where the fan base is all over, wherever GN was.
No. Let's not do that.
If you live in Iowa, stand on the lake.
No. That was a good job by Zach and Coom. Coom chiming in, calling it as he sees it. Morel.
Why are you being a hater?
I'm not. Morel was in a 7-for-57 slump in the previous 15 games up to that point.
Yes.
Again, manager compliment coming.
Oh boy, here we go.
I'm just saying, you stick with the guy, you're worried about his defense, he starts to struggle at the plate. 7-for-57, that's a lot of patience to show a young player.
It was a high fastball, and it was like he was looking for a high fastball.
It was
that's what it felt like.
It was like he was going up there looking for that, and if he got it, he was going to hammer it.
And he did.
And he did.
And they win.
He just missed. And they, Diaz just threw it right where Morel wanted him to throw it.
That's right.
Made a mistake, and he made him pay. And then Hector Neris held on for dear life in the ninth.
Humming.
Oh, my gosh.
Boy. Yeah.
Good game. Good moment.
Get another piece in that bullpen.
That was the takeaway.
Wow.
That was a fun win. Wow, that was something that after losing in Boston the night before the way they did and they come back, you think, okay, that was really good resolve and resiliency to all that. Then you're like, wow, this team, if they had a lockdown closer, you'd look at them a little differently. You'd look at them like, now we're talking. They may win the division this way. They could win the pennant with a lockdown closer.
Yeah. Yeah, they really could.
On April 30th, we're declaring that.
Well, no, I mean, they're good.
You look
and
at
they're
what
in
they...
first place, and that you have to understand what's happened with, you know, they've had what? Is it four blown saves from Edward Elzele?
Yeah.
That's four wins. I mean, when you blow a save, you should win those games.
We're off to a historic start in terms of victories in the month of April. Through April.
Sorry, Dustin. Be careful.
Through April, English major. Did you get that little shot?
Oh, okay, I know. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Get that little shot.
Forgive me for reading books in college.
For being well-read, you will be punished.
What a terrible mistake.
And chastised. Chastised means made fun of, Dustin.
Oh, boy. Look at this. I'm just kidding. David, you know, under the guise of rallying to my defense, you're actually just chasing him down.
Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer.
Divide. We divide and you conquer? Is that it?
I don't know.
You get both of us.
Having fun.
All right.
It's a Tuesday and the Cubs
and
won
the Cubs
a big
were good.
Game.
And yeah, they were good. Really good. And you know, it's just fun to see it happen.
I did
just
watch a little hockey last night, too.
Did you? I watched a little basketball.
Yeah. Oh, the playoffs.
A little NBA. Not much. The Miami Heat, man. They needed your guy.
Oh my
they needed
gosh.
some juice. They missed so many threes. They just couldn't. I mean, they were down like 30 at one point. I was like, ooh. During commercials, I'm hunting around, and I was well aware of the NBA game, and I had that on my phone, actually. And I went over and saw the most unusual three-pointer of the season. They got Miami got a three-pointer from a very unusual source, and I was just kind of snickering to myself that, you know, if they had some Struce juice, they might have been able to
put that Struce juice in it and knock it back.
If only
That's
they
what
did.
They were missing.
If only they
That's
did.
What they were missing.
So I want to ask you a question about the NBA. I know it's not a Chicago-type story, but after seeing the way the Lakers were dispatched by the Nuggets again,
LeBron, say you bye.
LeBron is a different issue. But,
he's out in the first round.
He's out in the first round. He can, he could.
You knew they were going out in the first round.
You did because Jamal Murray is just Mr. Clutch.
And you're surprised they won a game, frankly.
Well, I was after that, they were chirping, though. They had to win one game. They couldn't get swept again. But Jamal Murray is not an NBA All-Star.
Hmm.
He's not really an All-NBA player. But this is a guy that they're staring down a second straight NBA title. And he gets two game winners in this five-game series. And I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. I wonder, is he a Hall of Fame player, Jamal Murray?
Well, not now, but let's see what happens.
I mean, if he wins
in the Canadian,
he wins.
I'll give you that.
I just wonder, like, what's the comp with a player who is so good in these clutch moments and so overlooked?
Joker's a Hall of Fame player,
no doubt. Well, he's one of the best big men
Robert
ever.
Ori.
That's what I was thinking. He's kind of a Robert big game big shot Ori.
Yeah, it's just the problem kind of is Robert Ori won like six or seven titles, right? How many titles?
I believe he has six.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying he's got to do – listen.
But Jamal Murray might
shot.
Be a better all-around player than Big Shot Bob.
But he's suffered injuries is my point, and he hasn't been – what's extraordinary when I watch them play is they're not a super team. You know, that's a team that was built. How long has Joker been there? How long has he been there?
Newsflash.
He's been there 5 or 6 years.
Newsflash. Super teams out.
Well, that's where I was going.
Draft and develop in.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Look at
tonight.
Look at tonight.
Timberwolves, OKC.
Thank you.
Those teams are playing well.
Look at the Phoenix Suns complaining about what went wrong.
Phoenix gone wrong. Is the coach okay? Why didn't they get a point guard? Will Bradley Beal ever not?
How about all the
all
old stars out? You know, no Curry, no LeBron, no KD.
Yep. It's new blood.
Tired, old, done.
Wow, you are so cruel.
They're so washed.
The new faces are in, you know.
The new faces are
yes.
In. Yeah.
Anthony Edwards, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He's oh my goodness.
He's been unbelievable.
That team is fun to watch.
They are very fun to
watch. And meanwhile, there's a lot of good things happening with the league in that way. And you still have the Nuggets, who I don't think anybody's going to beat. I just don't. And you see the Celtics. How bad is Porzingis now? How bad was that injury?
I mean,
they
he
said
left
it's
the
not
game,
an Achilles.
But
they said it's not an Achilles.
It looked like that.
Listen,
I'd be scared.
Been hurt since. I mean, I don't know. Is it the height? Size ratio, like I don't know what it is, but if you thought he was going to survive, then you weren't watching his career. He's been hurt pretty much from day one.
Texter says 7 rings for Robert Horry, a Dennis Johnson 7. Comp to Jamal Murray. I like that one. That's a very interesting comp. Dennis Johnson was a heck of a player. Seattle Supersonics and later Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I know DJ. I remember covering an NBA game, and you look down at all the scouts that are sitting there, and it's like, is that Dennis Johnson? Like, it was so bizarre. He like working ground roots in the NBA trying to get into upper management and such. It's pretty cool.
It's a grinder if you're willing to do that after the career that he had.
Exactly.
And that's a good comp. I just think that I had a moment after seeing what happened last night. Did not stay up to watch that, but catching up this morning. An appreciation for Jamal Murray and how clutch he is and what he's on the verge of doing in his career.
Denver looking for a game winner. Murray has it on the high right side. High pick from Jokic. Murray, jumper from 8. Got it again! 3.6 seconds left for the Lakers. LeBron over to Prince. Jumper's no good at the horn. And the L.A. Lakers can take that L on the way out along with that whistle. Denver takes care of La La Land.
I love that. Who's that?
Take the L on
that
the way out.
That is great. I love that.
That's Nuggets Radio. Thanks.
See, now that's
that
the kind of homerism one can support.
Well, you don't like LeBron.
I don't dislike LeBron.
You don't like the super teams.
I don't like the super teams. That's a good call, though, because it was authentic. It seemed like it was in the moment.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
It was in the moment. Well, 3.6 seconds left.
It was just caught up in the enthusiasm. That's fun. Do you think LeBron returns to the Lakers?
Yes.
Is it conditional upon the Lakers saying that we will draft Bronny?
Is Bronny coming out?
Yes.
But that's a mistake.
He's got to come out. You got one shot.
Listen.
It's not like Eminem. You got one shot.
They're going to do whatever they got to do to keep LeBron happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure Rich Paul yesterday said he's going to play 2 or 3 more years. And then LeBron wasn't sure because he doesn't know how they feel about
him. He can play 2 or 3 more years.
They need players.
LeBron's waiting for a scenario.
Trade into the last pick of the second round and draft Bronny if it makes LeBron.
Do they have – I don't know if they have any draft picks, but I would think that they could get in a position to get a draft pick. Bronny does not seem like he's a
I don't think
high first round.
You might not need a draft pick. You could just sign him as a free agent.
Well, you mean? That's mean.
I'm not trying to be mean.
That is trying to be mean.
I'm just saying – if and this is a terrible draft, by the way.
You know, so he'll get drafted.
You can't even find anybody.
You know, people will criticize that with LeBron holding the Lakers hostage for until they promise to draft or sign Bronny. However, acquire him, add him to the roster. I'd do it if I could.
Averaged 4.8 points coming off the bench of a team that didn't even get into the tournament or the NIT.
Miscast. Just miscast.
Look at you.
This cast misused.
When they draft Bronny, no. They'll sign him as a free agent. And
they might. Free. I think that would be cool.
Would you let him, you know, be the ball boy? Is that what
you're
saying?
Nope. I'd let him be in the 10th guy in rotation. He could be your Dalen Terry, L.A. Lakers.
Mm.
Defensive guy.
I thought he was going to go to DeCoin. Did that change?
No. He's not going anywhere. He's going to the NBA. I bet he goes to the NBA.
He's in the portal, and he's declared for the draft, if I'm not mistaken. So six opportunities.
6-3-0. Is Hall intoxicated? Murray is very good, but the pipe breaks on the Hall of Fame talk. I want to look at his numbers. He's going to have probably 3 or 4 NBA titles by the end of his career. And he's going to be a big reason why.
Right now, as I said, he's definitely a Hall of Famer in Canada. He's a great Canadian player.
And it's not as hard to get into the Basketball Hall of Fame as it is some other Halls of Fame.
Tony Kukoc says it's really
tough. Thank you. I mean.
Speaking of foreign players, did you see that Loyola finished their team yesterday? They got a portal transfer. Is a kid from France.
You know, I missed that news bulletin.
And he was once on a team that included your guy, Victor Wembanyama.
Did he really?
So who knows? Maybe Wemby decides to go back to college.
Loyola's reduced to...
Go Ramblers! Is
Wemby
in the portal?
So no, Loyola is reduced to recruiting friends of Wemby?
He's a transfer from Washington State.
Okay.
He's got 2 years left.
Wow.
And he's come to Loyola. Why are you bad-mouthing?
I'm not bad-mouthing anybody.
The Ramblers. He once played for a team in France that was a Tony Parker coach team. The elder Tony Parker, the father. Tony Parker, the father, who went to Loyola.
Sounds like he's got a lot
in
of
the 70s.
Influential friends, and I hope he
Sounds
can play.
Sounds like they've completed their team by getting a Frenchman.
I hope he can play.
Oui, oui. Well, mon ami.
Bears' new offensive lineman can speak French. Amagaji. So that's good.
Pretty
so you
cool.
can use you can pull out that accent again.
Yeah, I will say to him, Amagaji, welcome to the program.
Okay, whatever that says.
I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure if that means either.
Listen, like I've been to France. I've also taken a class at the Alliance Française. We did these things where we had to do a videotape. My daughter will sometimes send me the clip where I'm doing my video for the class, and I turned to the camera and I said, bonjour, like I mispronounced bonjour.
We need that video.
It was so stupid.
We're going to need that audio.
It was like worst French student ever.
That's good. That'd be great.
I was cheating off her
be good
class.
For the show.
It's during COVID.
It'd be fun.
She was going to Canada. We took a French class. Back off. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Radio 6-7 in the score. You have no balls on cheese.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Visit feelgreatillinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or weight loss options. Do you believe the Bears are done with the construction of their roster? Will they add another piece by the time they get to training camp? Would you? And if so, what would that be?
Oh, I think that they could probably use help on the defensive line. I believe the line of scrimmage is never done. Didn't they sign Yannick Ngakoue, like, kind of right at the start of training camp a year ago? And I know he got hurt at the end of the year. I wonder what his situation is, what his condition is. He seemed to play better briefly when they got Sweat before he went down. I know this is going to upset you. Calais Campbell's 37. He had 6.5 sacks last year in Atlanta. He played for Flusi. Could you bring in a guy like that on a flyer and just see if he could Tommy Pham it up for you? And that's just a joke. But I'm serious. That's a grown-arse man. If you didn't get to some of these spots.
It surprises me.
It surprises you that I'm suggesting this? I just think, why not? Why not continue to get better? I'm not saying take away reps from people. I'm just saying, if you feel like you're missing something, and if you listened to Jalen Johnson yesterday, he's a little bit concerned about what they got up front, whether he said that between the lines, whether I heard that, he didn't say it, or I read into it. But I don't have any problem. They got money, and they got a team that looks like it might win. And if they got a chance to upgrade, I would take it.
Well, I do like that idea, Mully, of Calais Campbell. You could do a whole heck of a lot worse than that guy, and that seems like kind of the perfect thing, right? Right at training camp, right as things are about to start. What's his interest level? But again, you have a defensive-minded head coach. They did spend draft capital on that position last year in the second rounds. At some point, you got to coach these guys up, right? And didn't they have their new defensive line coach is supposed to be
the new defensive coordinator was a line coach
outstanding. Really, yes. Like that's his forte.
Yes.
So let's coach these two young guys up. How about that? Let's do that, right? I mean, you can always keep. There's always more. You always want more. But listen, let's coach up the offense. Let's score more points.
Austin
than
Booker
the other guys,
is
right?
A situational guy. The guys behind, I get it where you're at with the edge guys. You got situational guys.
Austin Booker is a project.
And he's
not somebody you'll go into this season necessarily counting on. I think that what you have to also remember is that now, unlike the Ngakoue signing, and that was understandable at the time, overpaid, but you had to do it. Unlike that signing, he joined a team that was on a hope and a prayer, essentially. The Bears are cool. This is a destination place, I think, at this point. So there might be somebody out there. Maybe it's Calais Campbell. Maybe it's somebody else who's on the street unexpectedly after another round of salary cap casualties. You just don't know. But you do know this. The Bears, they need maybe some insurance. They need something to protect them from an injury. They've got an excellent defense. We can talk all summer long about the top 10 defense that it is. That's reputation. You want to ensure the results, you get depth. And that means maybe overpaying or bringing in a veteran to give you that kind of presence and security. Yes, absolutely. You're never done shaping your roster when you are where the Bears are. And frankly, this is a good reminder. The Bears have accomplished nothing. The Bears are still a 10-loss team. They've lost so many games in the last 2 years. 24? 24 games in two seasons. This is a good time to remind people, this feels good right now. They're headed in the right direction. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. And the way you avoid doing that is to continue to search for pieces. They need another piece to rush the passer. They need more depth on that defense. So whether Jalen Johnson's saying it or not, it's true. You need defensive tackle. You could use an edge rusher. Go out and find them. They will pop up, and you should be willing to pay.
Wow, that's a good question.
That's the voice of John Heyman. He was at Cubs-Mets last night, and he'll be here at 7:25 with Mully and Haw. It's only one win, but it was a big one. So what was the best part of the Cubs going from getting no hit for seven innings to rallying for a victory in the ninth against the Mets in New York?
I think the best part was Christopher Morel coming through in a big moment. He needed that. The Cubs needed him to do that. He's a big part of this team. He's a big part of their success. He's struggling mightily. He said 7-for-57 coming in. That's a slump. That is a major league slump. If he hadn't had such success last year going deep, there might have been talk about, you know, getting him some seasoning. He looked really overmatched at times in that slump, and maybe this will break him out of it. He is a streaky hitter. He's been better defensively. He had a bobble last night, then he recovered quickly, and Michael Busch couldn't bail him out. But he's made progress at third base. I liked what last night represented for Christopher Morel individually and what it meant for the Cubs collectively. That was a big game. That was a resolve game. So first of all, with Morel, secondly with Tyone, he's pitched like an ace. He's earning his money early on, coming back from the injury and looking like this is somebody who's going to be different this year. And he's an easy guy to root for. So the Cubs have resolve. They've got 18 victories in April. They've got a chance to have their best, most successful April and finish it tonight with a 19th victory with Assad on the mound. So you just feel good about where they are. But you can't help but take away this. Where would they be if they had a lockdown closer? And how would we view them differently? Because that would be the biggest doubt that I have right now about the Cubs. They're getting it done with their depth, but boy, could they use a lockdown closer.
They could use a lockdown closer. There's no doubt about that. You know, obviously, Christopher Morel hits the two-run home run. But Dansby Swanson breaking up the no-hitter, right? There was a man on base, via the walk. Dansby Swanson gets the bloop flare. Almost a ball similar to the one they were beat on, right, the night before in Boston. A little different, but similar. He breaks up that no-hitter. And I think that is the kind of momentum. All of a sudden, two guys on, and somehow the Cubs were able to work a run out of that inning and tie that inning up at 1-1. So without breaking up the no-hitter, you're not in the position to have Christopher Morel with the heroics. So I'm going to give Dansby Swanson the nod there. Of course, there's nothing wrong with Christopher Morel, but I'm going to give it to Dansby Swanson just to be a touch different.
Yeah, I have no problem with Morel. I'm going to give it to Jameson Taillon because, you know, you talk about going into a game after losing a series and after, you know, the way they lost. I mean, the 17-0 game, what are you going to do? That happens. That's just bad. But then to lose a close game and lose a series, to come back with a guy that wasn't there at the start of the year but has been one of the guys that was counted on to be a stalwart. I thought he pitched his arse off, and he kept them in that game. And, I, you know, while there being no hit, he's shutting down the Mets and keeping it a one-run game until they finally get the heroics at the end. And, you know, it really speaks volumes about sticking with Morel and understanding who he is and not being afraid to keep going to the well with him. That's his first home run since April 9th, and obviously that's the game-winning blast, and it really matters, and hopefully that lifts him a ton. He has not homered in a while, and I thought it was just great. And I thought those two guys were kind of the ones that I would single out. I hear what you're saying, Dustin. Dansby Swanson did end a no-hitter, and that did, you know, help you with scoring a run in that inning. But I really thought Taillon pitched his arse off.
You can continue to talk about it, and you guys can continue to ask those questions, and I'll continue to answer it this way.
Did you understand the reasoning behind Tommy Pham getting a game off last night, even if he hit safely in three straight games, and the Sox won all three of those games?
Boy, I mean, the idea that I'm watching a game and thinking, boy, where the hell is Tommy Pham, it just tells you where the White Sox are at. It's so much fun to watch what the Cubs are doing, in large part because they're overcoming all these injuries because they've got these great young players. And I heard, we haven't talked about this, but I heard Chris Getz say, before they had the three-game winning streak, so it's now kind of going back a week, but he said something like, a lot of people like our minor league system, and he said, you know, it's been rated as high as three. That was from the Bleacher Report. Like, you're reading that to determine how good your minor league system is? And they're doing it with older, discarded players that you don't really want around here. And that's just kind of, it's upsetting to me as a baseball fan that I'm second-guessing why you don't stick with Tommy Pham, because the guy's played three games and you've won all three of them, and he's had a hit in each of them, and now you decide, well, he hasn't had an off season. He didn't go to training camp. We gotta be concerned. So you're playing the long term game with him? I thought the whole idea was to just get him as much time as possible and trade him at the deadline to some team that's going somewhere. I don't know. I mean, the things that upset me make me feel like a baseball idiot. The things that as a fan bother me are just not good baseball reasons.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some metric too, like he isn't good against that pitcher. He's not good on Monday night after a day game versus a night. He's 36, so they'll play the age card. A bunch of malarkey. I don't get it. And then he'll play tonight, and the Sox will win, and everybody will be, oh, you got to have Tommy Pham in there every day.
Now this is something that I can't prove. But I thought this last night, and this is saying a lot. This is the dumbest move that Pedro Grifol has made all season long. This is the absolute most idiotic thing. And I don't want to overreact to a team going nowhere that's making history for the wrong reasons. You won three in a row. Your website is proclaiming Tommy Pham is the difference in the 3-0 in the Pham era, all those things. And then he sits. Because you're afraid he's going to get tired? You know what you should be tired of? Losing.
Oh, my God.
Losing.
Thank you.
You stink out loud. Your guy who gave you a spark is on the bench. And then, no. We're not going to give him the entire night off. He's tired, so he can rest the first eight innings. We're going to pinch hit him. If he's going to play and he's going to stretch and he's going to pinch hit, get him in the lineup, Pedro. What are you thinking? You're not. This was dumb. I think if you're the Sox, I don't care how tired you are. You're 6-22 going into this game. Gut through another game, four games in a row. Tommy Pham's old. No, if you think that he made a difference over the weekend, why was he going to stop against the Twins? This was ridiculous.
And I got a question for you guys right out of the gates.
Mike Florio's voice there. He's here at 8:44 with you guys. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said during the NFL draft weekend that he was leaning toward adding that 18th game, reducing preseason to two games, and extending the playoffs so Super Bowl lands on President's Day weekend with a Monday off.
So Roger Goodell would admit that some of his toughest critics are the fans. But as he's floating this new plan that would add a regular season game to the schedule and move Super Bowl Sunday to the long President's Day weekend, it may be a win-win if the players can get on board.
That ends up on President's Day weekend, which is a three-day weekend, which makes the Sunday night, and then you have Monday off.
What do you think of those proposals? Will the players go along with this?
I'm just glad to see the Bears back on the Today Show and nobody complaining. That was good Bears news. Not since Cody Parkey and the double doink have we looked back at the Today Show in Chicago. I think that Roger Goodell is speaking on behalf of the owners. Of course he is. The owners would prefer an 18th game because that would mean more revenue. The preseason, I'm with him. I don't really like it. We tend to overstate it. It lasts too long. You're too afraid of injuries. Nobody plays anyway. Reduce it to two games. Who's going to care? This is maybe the way it should be headed. I know we're going to have complaints about player safety. I know that we're going to have concerns about CTE and concussions, and those are worthwhile discussions. And there might be times where you need to rest players. I understand all that comes with it, but this is where it's headed. And we're hypocrites if we say that we are hesitant to embrace this. more football, the better. Our nation is addicted to it. You want 18 games and you want to have a three-day weekend? That sounds outstanding to me. The day after the Super Bowl?
Do we have to work on Monday?
No. No. We're not going to because we're going to be at the Super Bowl site. We're going to stay for the game this time.
Let's go.
And we're just going to fly back on Monday when everybody else is flying back. I think this is a time. This is an idea whose time has come, and I think they're going to probably implement it. And this is a trial balloon, and people are going to embrace it.
I'm all for it. No problem here, but I'm guessing we're going to have to work. It's not Super Bowl Saturday night. That would be, I still think, preferable. Super Bowl Saturday night.
Even on this Monday weekend, so that you play the Super Bowl Saturday and then you talk about it on Tuesday?
No, not that weekend, no. But as it stands now, there's no reason you couldn't play on the week with the 2 weeks off, basically. There's no week. There's a week off for sure in between the game. I prefer the idea of Super Bowl Saturday night for our purposes. Of course, I'm selfish that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to expand rosters. I think you're going to need more players per team. I think you're going to need a couple of teams because you're going to have like the first half of the season where the team you built is together, and then when they all get hurt, you got to have the second group that you put together. I'm not joking about it. I think you're going to have a really hard time keeping players healthy for 18 weeks, but it's been heading this way from the minute they went from 16 to 17. 17's a bad number. 17 is – that's not a very good listen, running backs have been so demoted in the league and so kind of diagnosed and no longer – literally anybody on the street can now get 1,000 yards if you're going to play 18 games. So that's awesome. I got to tell you, I mean – it feels like this is how it's heading. I like the idea of having it on a weekend with a holiday and making that really President's Day. It's really not about anything other than the Super Bowl being a national holiday. Sounds good to me.
Don't ask me about that.
Is there any reason in Chicago to wonder how messy it might get in Philadelphia if Joel Embiid's season ends abruptly with the 76ers, or in Phoenix as the Suns and Kevin Durant try to figure out why they got swept? Could the Bulls be landing spot in a trade for one of those two disgruntled stars?
Well, I do not believe that no, I don't think Chicago's a landing spot unless you can, you know, get Zach LaVine in a swap with someone, that kind of thing. You probably could get Bradley Beal if that means anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
The whole super team thing not working and the aged players not able to put together a championship run is fascinating to me. It's just really interesting because I guess when Kevin Durant went to Golden State and that team started winning titles, he was still young, and they were still relatively young, and that was like a collection of superstars. And you know, he just got fed up of not winning, so he went there to win, and it hasn't followed him at all. And it's really wild. It makes you think differently about him with the experience in New Jersey and how things have gone in the desert. It just makes you think differently of him. It makes you feel like, you know, we know how great a player he was, but was he really? You know, was it the guys around him as much as him? Even going back to the Oklahoma State days, you know, it just makes me think of him differently than I did. When he went to Golden State and they were winning, I thought differently of him than I do now. I don't know about this idea of the Bulls trying to put together their version of a super team. This would be more like, it would be like instead of, you know, Avengers Assemble, it would be like you're getting kind of the third rate or the broken down superheroes to come in and just hold on for one more season. It's just not, you know, it's like you know, the Fantastic Four guy, but his arm goes about 6 feet and then it hits the ground. The elasticity is gone from Mr. Stretchy.
It's like the claw without the real grip.
The
right?
flame is kind of like it goes. Whoosh,
the limp claw.
It goes out. Whoosh, he starts to fly and then he collapses. And the brick guy, you know, he like throws a punch and then he hurts his hand. It's kind of the group they're trying to assemble.
Well, I definitely don't want Kevin Durant anywhere near the Chicago Bulls. He's 36.
I take Dame Lillard out of all those guys.
He hasn't been the same since.
Look at guys being eliminated.
He tore the Achilles. You know, he was, you know, when he was on Golden State. But again, Golden State, that was a super team and it worked, right? That was a super team and it worked. But what has Joel Embiid ever done in the postseason? Not a whole heck of a lot. But at least he's 30. If you know, they're big age discrepancy. And he feasts on the Bulls. I just... The NBA, it can be so good and then it can be so bad at the same time. And it's weird. I mean, I am looking forward to this T-Wolves Nuggets series, but to answer the question, those two guys coming to Chicago do almost nothing for me. But if I have to pick, I would take Embiid over Durant at this point in their career.
Well, if you're going to get a star in Chicago, it's going to be somebody like that is disgruntled with his team currently and looking for a change of scenery. It could be, we could substitute in two other names in there, and it could be the same type of question. Would you be willing, if you're the Bulls, to make that kind of a deal? Zion Williamson may be somebody whose name comes up. You don't know who else is out there that might be having issues with his own team. You talk about Bradley Beal. Yeah, it makes sense because Billy Donovan has a history with him. He's also making $50 million. $50 million. But maybe the Suns think they want to swap bad contract for bad contract, and Zach LaVine's on his way to Phoenix and Bradley Beal's back here in Chicago. This is what kind of thing you're talking about if you're just looking for change for the sake of change. Joel Embiid is a superstar, but he's also played in 54% of the regular season games over the last 6 or 8 years. So there's not an obvious answer that doesn't come with a little degree of like, hesitation.
Should we talk about him like as a guy whose position doesn't translate into the league anymore?
I don't know. That may be.
I'm just curious.
That's tomorrow's question. But I think when you talk about like what the Bulls are going to do, it's somebody like that kind of player that they're going to have to consider unless they're going to just stand pat. If they're going to trade Zach LaVine, it's going to be for a massive contract. The only reason these massive contracts would be on the trade market is because things didn't work out with their respective teams. So you're not going to get the perfect superstar. That notion should not exist. That's fantasy world.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
All right, with these NBA playoffs as up for grabs as ever, who are your new favorites in each conference? By the way, does any of the newfound parity affect the way you think about the Bulls and how they should respond in the offseason? Does it suggest that they could be closer than we think if the right moves were made?
Boy, I would really want to believe that if I'm a Bulls fan. I would really want to believe that you see what's going on with the Knicks and what they can do in OKC and what they're trying to do. I don't know if that's transferable, though. I don't know if that's what's going on. I do know. It's not going on in Chicago. I don't think it is a takeaway. I'm not sure the Bulls are capable of doing that. I love the way that parity has changed the way we view the playoffs because you can see Oklahoma City making a run. The Timberwolves are going to be a tough out. I still think it's going to be the Nuggets in the West. In the East, I have no idea because if Porzingis is hurt, what does that do to the Celtics? They're probably still the odds-on favorite. There's probably still the team to beat. I love what the Knicks are doing, though. I would love it if the Knicks emerge from the East and they give the Nuggets all they could handle in the West. That would be a terrific NBA final between two teams. That would be a contrast in styles. As for the Bulls, boy, I just don't think that they know what they're going to do yet. I don't think that they're sure of the direction they're headed. If they want to build from within or go out and try some of these discarded retreads, that doesn't sound very appealing, but they've got to do something different. And this playoff series does show you that maybe you're not as far away as you think because of parity, but you could also go the other direction because there could be other teams thinking that they're closer to, and they're going to pass you.
Maybe in the East, maybe, right? The East seems not that great in injuries and breaking up teams, and even the Knicks. Okay, they're fun. I mean, the NBA is a little bit more fun when the Knicks are involved. But other than the Celtics, nobody really scares you out East. I am looking forward to this Timberwolves Nuggets series. And it seems like the other team out West, the number one seed, oh, by the way, that just swept the Pelicans, like nobody really gives them a whole heck of a lot of attention.
You know, I still think it's going to wind up being the Celtics and the Nuggets. And that's how I felt when the thing started. I'd be curious to see what happens with the Celtics, to see how serious that injury is, if they can quickly overcome it. But I don't know that that's what will stop them, frankly. I mean, I think he's a good player, Porzingis, and he helps them because he is so extraordinary. He's such a kind of unicorn. But I'm not sure they need him. I'm not sure they need him to win a title. I hope it's not the Knicks. I think the Knicks are a fun story, and there's a local guy involved, and, you know, there's Tibbs' connection. But, God, I find the New Yorkers to be terrible winners, and I don't think I could stomach
really
an NBA championship from the Knicks. I mean, good God.
They're not going to win the championship.
Well, it's what we're talking
playing
about.
Playing in the finals would be
about,
fun.
We're talking about that'd who's going to win the championship. They're not going to get past the Celtics, please God. And I'm not a big fan of Boston either, for that matter, but I think that's a good team that's been put together well, and I kind of – we've been waiting to see if they can break through, and we're still kind of holding our breath on that one. I love watching Joker. You know, I love watching the Nuggets all the way around. I like the idea of the way they were built and the idea that that was what the Bulls were supposed to be doing. Sadly, that hasn't happened. I got to be honest with you. I look around the league and I see these teams, and I don't feel like the Bulls are in contention with them. And I don't feel like there's a way for the Bulls to get in contention with the rest of the league. The Bulls are stuck in the middle. They can't get better. They're trying not to get worse. And I just don't see it. It's like they would have to seriously turn out to be genius level kind of evaluators to bring in somebody that could raise them up to where they need to
be. An unexpected stroke of genius.
That is what is required to save them. And I we haven't seen any hint of it.
I hope Jalen Brunson and the Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I love Jalen Brunson. I don't want anything to do with the Knicks. They're fans, just the way they dominate the media. And
how do you not like Tom Thibodeau?
I don't like the Knicks. Have I made that clear enough?
Jerry Reinsdorf?
No Knicks for me. Okay. I mean, now you're really poisoning.
You want
the
Celtics instead of the Knicks?
Well, now
I'm a Brad Stevens guy, but come on.
I'm tired
of that. I'm tired of the Celtics.
Those New York basketball fans. Oh, my God. And the Knicks. Come on.
Bing bong.
Okay.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago. I mean, you know, James Dolan, who's the worst single owner in the last 20? I mean, that's Jerry-level White Sox stuff, what that guy did. We don't want that rewarded.
Okay.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/across America.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Score. Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
This might be premature, but in light of what the Bears have accomplished this offseason, did they become Chicago's sports team closest to a championship? We talk about championship window open, but how realistic is it? How many years are they away to do what they can do? And do you think Matt Eberflus will be the coach if they play for a title?
Wow, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, aren't we? Day after the draft, a couple days after the draft, wondering if the Bears are the closest team in Chicago to a title. I still don't think so. I still don't think they are, with due respect to the draft that they had. I think all of us thought it was a category for grading quickly, and that's ridiculous to grade a draft within the first 36 hours, but that's what we do. They got an A. They deserved it. But I don't know that they're still close or closer than, say, the Cubs. Cubs go out and get a closer at the deadline. They are legitimate World Series contenders this year. This year. That's baseball. The Diamondbacks played for a World Series last year. Did you see that one coming? No. It's baseball. There's variance. There's all kinds of things that happen in October. So the Cubs are a closer away from really cementing that status as the Chicago team closest to a title. The Hawks are probably 5 years away still. I don't even want to talk about the White Sox. The Bulls, we just did. The Bears, though, I think within the first 3 years of Caleb Williams' career, if things go according to plan, yes, they are in a position to make a run in the NFC, to win the NFC Championship game and to play in a Super Bowl. If you play in a Super Bowl, you can win a Super Bowl. So I don't think that's outrageous. I think the Super Bowl window opened over the weekend a little bit wider. And I think if you look out into the distance and you predict the future, as we like to try to do, you could see within the next 3 years them being in that realm to be competitive for an NFC championship. And as I said, if you are competitive for an NFC title, you are a Super Bowl contender. So they're on the right track. They got the right guy. They have, I think, the right guy putting the team together. And if it's within the next 3 years, I do think that Matt Eberflus likely will be the coach. I think sometimes as we continue to consider this or discuss it, if you have the right player at quarterback, the head coach is maybe not as impactful as he might need to be if the quarterback isn't as gifted or as special as Caleb Williams seems. So I think it's still the Cubs in Chicago, but the Bears are on the way.
Yeah, the Bears are on their way. I guess, we're talking about Stanley Cups and Lombardi trophies here. That's what we're talking about? Okay, so we're not talking about winning divisions or winning, right? I mean, that makes it different. I want to say the Bears. I'm super excited. I'm pumped up. I'm not going negative, you know, because Jalen Johnson said on the station yesterday they need a little bit more beef on the defensive line, and the offensive line has their own issues and questions. But it's probably the Cubs. It's probably the Cubs are the closest today. I'm really impressed with what they've been able to do considering all the injuries they've had to set a record and be in first place as we're about to hit May 1st tomorrow. But listen, it's exciting, and you know, you guys talked about it yesterday too. Part of this is, you know, how many nationally televised games are the Bears going to be on when the schedule comes out in the next 10 days or so, or you know, 15 days, however many ever days it is. But it's going to be a lot, which means, again, they're not just relevant here; they're relevant to the country.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Cubs. I got to see the Bears play. I just want to see him play. I want to see this team on the field. I want to see what it looks like. I want to see how I feel about this team after a few games. I just want to get a feel for who they are and what they can do, and I'm excited about it. But, man, I mean, we're sitting here talking, are they going to win the Super Bowl? I honestly don't understand why they didn't change coaches. I felt like, you know, if you're asking me if Jim Harbaugh is coaching this team and they get this draft and they have all these players, do I feel like they can win a title? Yeah. I mean, that's good. Do I feel like Flus is going to win a Super Bowl? I mean, it's a real hard one because, yeah, I mean, I'm old enough to have been at the Super Bowl and seen Barry Switzer win it. I mean, Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. So I'm not sure how much the coach, how important that is, and how, you know, if you build a Super Bowl team, I think anybody can win a Super Bowl because Barry Switzer did it, and he did it just as – just because Jerry wanted to insult Jimmy. That's how goofy that thing was. But they did win a Super Bowl. It's hard not to acknowledge that fact. I feel like Craig Counsell is going to win a World Series with the Cubs. I feel like he's going to be here long enough, and he's good enough that they're going to win a World Series. I feel like the Cubs are still getting their act together and figuring out who they are, and I like the comp with Arizona. But I feel like, you know, there's going to be a player, whether it's like Owen Casey, there's going to be somebody that we don't even know yet is going to wind up being like an unbelievable talent among that group and is going to help them to win
MVP,
a World Series.
MVP type.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And it's not the obvious one right now.
Yeah.
But there's somebody there that's going to be an award-winning guy. And they got him on the way, and they're really – they're loaded for the future. And I think Craig Counsell knows how to manage, and I think he's going to do a really good job. And I have seen them play in the month of April, some play a little bit in March, and I feel like they're heading in the right direction. It's hard for me to not acknowledge that fact. I just got to see the Bears play. I just got to see what it looks like. I want to know what Shane Waldron's done. I want to know, wow, look at that play, look at that play. All I really want to see, I want to see him kind of march down the field. I want to feel like they can just keep rolling over the chains and they can win. And I don't even need the home runs. I don't even need like the big moments. I need to see consistency.
Proof of life. You want to make sure that Caleb Williams is actually on the way.
As long as Caleb Williams is playing within what he does and improving every year, they're going to get there. But I don't want to see him feel like he's got to be like an immediate superstar, right? I mean, I just want to see them. If they are as balanced as we've heard, and if they are as kind of imperceptible, whether they're better on offense or defense, as some have said, as complete a team, let's just watch that. Let's watch that happen before we just a little bit before we give them the Super Bowl title. You know, beat the flower. Don't go watch basketball with them. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
What'd you think of that Morrell head?
I thought it was sweet. It's maybe the best closer in baseball, and just big spot, New York City, bright lights, facing that dude. And he hasn't, I don't know when his last homer was, and he's been putting together tough ABs, but he hasn't been putting him out like he did earlier in the year. So just really happy for him, and obviously huge for the team.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. There's the two stars of the game. That's Jameson Taillon talking about Christopher Morrell. So Jameson Taillon stays with it, has a really good outing, and then you win the game after being no hit into the eighth inning, you win the game on a two-run homer in the ninth inning from Christopher Morrell.
What a fun bounce-back victory for the Cubs, losing the Red Sox series night before.
Right.
Tough loss with Dansby Swanson unable to make that catch late. And so they needed that in a bad way, in a big way. No hit for seven innings. Mully, that also was a historic night for Major League Baseball. While the Cubs were going through their own no-hit phase through the eighth inning, the Mariners also beat the Braves after being held hitless through the first seven innings. Wow. It was the first time two teams on the same day had done that No hit through seven. Win anyway. The first time since 1961, according to the Elias Sports Bureau.
So, you know, baseball is amazing.
It is.
Because you go to a game and something weird happens. Like, all of a sudden, two guys are tagged out at home plate. That happened to me once. And you're like, whoa, hey, does that have a lot? Like, you're just kind of blown away by some of the stuff. And then they'd be going at it for that long, and those things happen on one night. It's awesome.
2 hour, 5 minute game, really snappy. Good pitching performance by Jameson Taillon, 7 1/3. They needed that. They went to Mark Leiter Jr. and then to Hector Neris, who made us kind of nervous, but he never nervous Neris.
Hector Nervous.
Hector Nervous. A little bit antsy at the end, but
holy God.
All's well that ends well. The Cubs have an opportunity tonight to win the second game of that series in a four-game series, and they continue against the Mets. Pre-game coverage, 5:35, first pitch, 6:10. Listen to every Cubs game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. Tonight it is Javier Assad against local product, Northwest Indiana product.
That's right.
Sean Manaea.
He's from the region.
He's from the region.
And he's been rumored to come here about six times.
Always. He's an Indiana boy.
Yes. He is. Indiana boy, always White Sox kind of subject of rumors. The Cubs at some point.
I'm waving
with
off
that.
Any White Sox.
You're waving me off.
No, they're waiting until he hits 40. The guy's going to come here for retirement.
That was quite a game, though, because a lot of things happen. You look at the Cubs kind of out of it with Severino really dealing, and then they manufacture that run with Nick Madrigal pinch hitting for Yan Gomes. And then the Mets couldn't pull off the double play. The Cubs tie the game, and then they go into the ninth, and you think, okay, here's Diaz. The Cubs are going to be struggling. Morel 7 for 57. Boom! Home run.
Yeah, it turned on a dime. I mean, it's just extraordinary. You got a guy that's shutting you down the whole game. He walks the leadoff guy, and then Dansby Swanson gets that, whatever you want to call it, that little flare, that little kind of broken bat flare. It was a weird way to end a no-hitter, but it was.
Coom has said this before. Jim Deshaies said it last night on the Marquee broadcast when Dansby Swanson broke that bat. Broke the bat, but the bat died a hero.
I love it. That's so true.
It's pretty funny.
It's true. Didn't they get two kind of broken bat singles in that inning? They generate a run because of the leadoff walk.
Small ball.
And then big ball.
I thought it was going to be a long night. You know, you get there right away, and you think, okay, Mets, Cubs, this is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Taillon has to be on his game. And then leadoff home run. Nimmo hits a leadoff homer, and you're thinking, okay, could be a long night. How many games? I'm glad it's a four-game series because maybe they can split. And then Taillon retires 22 of the next 26 batters he faces. Just settled down after that leadoff homer and did what he needed to do.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great win for the Cubs. It really was. You didn't have to put the winning run at the plate, though, right? I mean, that's the problem.
You don't have to put two guys out in the ninth.
But when you're sitting there and you're watching this, and it's like this glorious kind of comeback, and wow, isn't that great? And then you're kind of sweating out the final outs of the game. But, you know, you kind of felt the strikeout coming to end the game. You know, the guy's staying alive, and then it's kind of like, here it comes. He's going down. And sure enough, boom.
Jed Hoyer sees that. You know, Jed Hoyer has been responsive to what the Cubs need. I wonder how aggressively he will pursue a closer for a manager that has used closers effectively in Milwaukee. You know, look at Josh Hader, look at Devin Williams.
Mm.
Adbert Alzolay was the guy that got the first opportunity. That hasn't worked out well, but I wonder how aggressive will the Cubs be and when will they start that pursuit if they do?
Well, I the thing is, there is help on the way, right? I mean, you know, there was a big injury update yesterday. So you know that by all accounts, Bellinger has started doing some baseball activities. I saw him playing catch, you know, it's kind of light tossing. So that's good. So you build on that and you build on that. And then, you know, Shohei is what? 2 weeks behind him,
yep,
something like
yep.
that. So you're going to be returning your players. They're down, what, three-fifths of the starting rotation. They're going to get people back. And as they do so, they're going to have to make adjustments as well. So I think they're going to get better is what I'm saying. And they're kind of holding on right now while having the best April.
It's been a good month.
It's pretty incredible.
Been a good month.
Given the fact that we began the conversation of this season talking about how tough the opening month was going
to
be.
Cub fans have to be happy with the job Craig Counsell has done in April. Already you have seen why he is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
They're in first place. Fun. The first place Cubs.
And you know, we had someone complaining about Ian Happ. What I love about the opening part of their order is they're battling, and they're usually looking at a lot of pitches, and they're making people work hard as they you know, just throw a lot of pitches, and that's always good.
Grind it out.
Grind it out. Grind it all out. 312-644-6767. Cubs are closest to victory, right? Cubs are closest team, or do you believe it's the Bears? How quickly is that going to turn around? And just I hate to be skeptical because I'm not. I think they're going to be good. I just want to see it.
Oh, you're skeptical?
No, I'm healthy. I'm a healthy skeptic. 312-644-6767. Mullion Haw on the score.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.